Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time. Only at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Dealing Together. First caller?
I bought 3 sweaters to get the 4th free.
Oh, you got fleeced. Next caller?
I traded my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus and chose my plan.
That's not a bad deal.
It is not.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Adam Silver looks more diabolical than David Stern. David Stern at least looked like a doofus.
Yeah. No, David Stern looked like a shaved Ewok. And now Adam Silver looks like truly one of the more menacing, unclothed Dementors I've ever seen in my life. Just evil.
He looks like he either has no shadow or he has two.
No shadow or too much shadow. That the Adam Silver story. Why is your shadow so thick, Adam? Yep, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Dwayne Wade's name is not misspelled. It is actually part of a secret code to help Nicolas Cage find the Declaration of Independence. That's right, niggas. Black people can find the Declaration of Independence too. Stop limiting yourself. Expand your brains. Dwayne Wade is part of a government conspiracy, y'all. He ain't misspelled his name. His mama spells Dwayne fine. She's helping us save the world. I'm your host, Langston Kerman, as always, coming in hot, baby. I'm feeling good. I'm back in LA. I'm recording once again in my own home, which has moderately better internet than the than the shit apartment I was living in New York. It's not much better, but it is better than what was happening before. But you know who has fantastic internet? You know who everything in his life, I think, is coming up gold, just hot. He's a man who's never stopped working since the day I met him, and he was working real hard before then. But man, he's so talented, so funny, a comedian, an actor extraordinaire. You know him. I think the thing that you need to know most is that he has a special on Showtime called Can't Cancel This, and he's so funny. Please give it up for my guest, Mr. Tone Bell.
Man, what is happening?
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Everyone, sit down. Let's get this thing started.
Let's get started, baby. How you feeling?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. I ain't seen you in so long, man. It's actually really good to see your face.
It has been a while, and our listeners should know that this has been an attempt to record that has probably taken upwards of 3 months, I think.
Oh, I would say longer than that.
Of just constant emails going back and forth with either myself or Tone needing to cancel because of various obligations, but we're doing it today, and this is very exciting. I truly can't wait to dive into it because you came with a conspiracy theory.
That, I would also I would also like to say, if I could interrupt just for a second,
please.
I would like to say that I love when friends cancel on me.
Oh, really?
I love when you cancel on me. That means you got shit to do that was more important than what we already had to do.
Damn.
That's a good problem.
Damn.
I appreciate that, which means that like my time, the time that you needed, you had to take it from me because it was more important. It was more money in that.
Let me say this. I felt terrible canceling the times that I did it. So it does help me sleep a little easier knowing that you were like, fuck yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
That's exactly where I go. Again? Man, this nigga is working.
God damn, he doing good. Go ahead. All right. Well, I'm going to sleep good tonight now because I did it multiple times. I'm a real monster.
Oh, man, I would say up head. Six or seven times you canceled on me. I go, man, this motherfucker is really going to work right now.
Well, we're not working today. You know who's not working today? It's me. I'm in shorts, baby. I'm here to talk to you about this conspiracy theory. It's an exciting one because you said my mama told me.
The NBA is rigged.
I said it, and I'll say it again.
Tell me more.
I'll say it again.
I need to know everything that you know that you think you know about this conspiracy thing.
I stopped believing in this, because you know what it feels like to me? It got too much to be like wrestling.
Mm.
It feels like performance art now, because I ain't never seen this many players with this kind of technology. 50 years ago, when Nichols was playing in Chuck Taylor's, there weren't this many injuries.
That's true.
Ankle support. Everybody wearing full body sleeves now.
Yeah.
Wearing copper and compression socks. And for some reason, you only got to play like 58 games a season to be on the team. I don't believe it. Refs, everywhere. You can gamble online now. I ain't going to lie. And here's why I really believe this. Because you could probably, if I was in the league, you could probably buy me.
Whoa. Okay. Now this is exciting. So you're saying you would slut it up immediately for a little bit of bread that you would.
Not a little bit of bread.
Okay. My apologies. You're no cheap whore. You would require a level.
If I'm going to slut myself out, I mean, it's got to be worth it. My name going to be tainted. People find that if you're going to Pete Rose me.
Yeah.
It's going to be for it. You're going to have to really, really pay me to take that shame.
Do you think, okay, I love that you're taking it down this. Do you think that Pete Rose is happy with the amount of money that it costs him to not be a Hall of Famer? That like, you know, Pete Rose objectively should be a Hall of Famer and just isn't because of his personality and gambling addiction.
We still talking about him.
We
kind of still know how great he is. I mean, the Mark McGuire's. Who was that? He was Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds, and all them.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Whoa.
I don't care. I don't care what. If you doing it to entertain me, get it in.
Oh, so this is exciting. So you are recognizing that these sports leagues are rigged, but you are not saying you're anti the rigging.
No, I get it. Mm. I get now. It does take something away from it. It takes away the mystique of the surprise. But I mean, it's like watching Patrick Beverly last week talk about who's going to get quote unquote injured in the middle of the third quarter because the Suns are getting blown out.
Whoa.
All of a sudden there's a hamstring or a quad and like somebody has to go to the locker room. So I go, oh man, I'm not the only one thinking this.
Right.
Okay. So now you start speculating, man, would the Suns have pulled it out if Chris Paul stayed?
Because it's
so now it leaves you, I'll make up a word, wonderment. It leaves you to go, what if?
Uh-huh. Because if Chris Paul just stays in the game, or if Devin Booker, whoever, just stays in the game, then you don't have to wonder. And then you just go, oh, they weren't as good as I wanted them to be or I thought they were. But if they go out of the game, you get to keep selling out this legend of point God and like the team that never was or whatever it is.
I think it goes so far that like, look, you know how many State Farm commercials we haven't seen since Chris Paul
been
not playing.
Ooh, we getting
in this
spicy. You shooting at State Farm? Oh, shit.
I'm coming for him. That's all right. They got insurance.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
So that's how they get
you. That's how they get you. If you fuck with State Farm, you're going to fuck around and lose your kneecaps. You know what I mean? Like, you, Jake from State Farm's going to beat your ass if you come. You fuck with his money?
Ooh. But see, that they oh, Jake is still around, but Chris ain't.
No, they've been weaning off of both Chris and Cliff Paul for quite some time now.
I'm telling you. Because he's getting older, they got to bring somebody new in.
Damn. Okay, so you're saying that we are going to see the last of the Chris Cliff Pauls, and maybe this is when we start to see, I don't know, they're not going to put Pat Bev in there. his personality's terrible. Truly, yeah. One of the more unlikable people that has ever crossed any NBA threshold. But a younger, more spry person with a big personality could take
over. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they finally get Trae Young. Trae Young will hop
in there. Trae Young's a good answer.
Trae Young will hop in there. But see, look, now who you got going up? We thought they were trying to villainize the Warriors.
Yeah.
Right? Looney can't play. Wiggins can't play. Klay back from his injury. They trying to villainize Steph again. Who won MVP? Luka.
Jokic won MVP.
Yeah, oh, Jokic. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, another big foreign man.
Hey, man, I be high a lot. So look, you got Luka, who everybody loves, and we know he's a beast.
Yep.
Right? And then, look, you got to get, in the NBA, I think the majority of the NBA is black.
Yes.
Not a conspiracy, we know this.
No, yeah, I don't think there's much argument there. Anybody at home who's like, hold on, brother, wait a minute.
Literally, say less.
That math ain't correct, brother.
So Luka's a minority.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have him.
Yeah.
We got to have Dallas play. We also knew that if Milwaukee didn't move on, we needed to be more excited, because I thought it was going to be Milwaukee. I thought Milwaukee was going to play, who they playing now? Miami.
Yeah.
Right? Two Celtics done. Al Horford's down. Marcus Smart's down. Miami had to sit some people down because Kyle Lowry couldn't play. So you have to even this whole thing out, because I think Boston's too good. So we have to get some excitement back, real East Coast, West Coast. Boston has to win this series.
So I'm fully understanding the scale at which you feel like this is functioning. It's not just a rigging in terms of, like, they sit down at the beginning of the season and go, okay, this year Miami is our champion and we are going to do everything to ensure that they're the champion. It's more day-to-day, game-to-game kind of thing.
I think we watch as the season goes on, before the All-Star break, who's getting the numbers, mm-hmm. who's getting the commercials, who's getting the ticket sales, whose merchandise is moving, who's exploding this season, who is healthy. And then after the All-Star break, we start pushing, because you can notice calls go, you know what, the first half, X team gets all these calls, Y team gets nothing. And then it could flip in the second half, watching hashtags and watching trends, who's people talking about. And then where the line in Vegas goes, probably shifts calls.
Mm. Now, see, that's interesting, because in that way, it sort of has a level of, it has a slightly egalitarian rigging happening, right? That, like, to some extent, everybody has the chance to earn Adam Silver's crowning as the team that we will then bless towards the end of the season.
Okay. Let me say this. I watched something recently that made a lot of sense to me, but it's like, mm-hmm. imagine so instead of, like, point shaving, right? That a team, a coach, a GM, or a ref can do to switch calls, balance out who gets more possessions, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I was listening to, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but that there was an interview that Gilbert Arenas was doing. And he was talking about the incentive contracts. So if I got to average 29-7 for the second half of the season to get an extra $3 million bonus, you're not getting them minutes.
Right.
The organization saves money. The team needs you because you got high enough stats to even have an incentive contract, which means that we're going to save money in the budget because you're probably got too many miles on you, so we won't see you next year.
Whoa. See, that's interesting because that also then makes me think about like Golden State, right? And how like objectively Jordan Poole was moving between being their first and second best player throughout parts of this season. But then at some point in the season, they opted to sort of like reshuffle, bring Klay back in. And now all of a sudden, Jordan's numbers are waning a little bit. He's still playing at a high level, but it's not necessarily the performance that he was having at the beginning of the season. And to your point, maybe some of that is a money shift.
Poole and Wiggins switched.
Uh-huh.
Wiggins wasn't getting that kind of love because he was a little slow to the draw. Poole was coming up. Poole ain't getting the numbers or the time that he was. Wiggins killing right now, but over the course of the season, them numbers going to level out.
Right. So we can make sure that we don't have to give him some weird bonus that he doesn't, that we can still benefit from now this out of nowhere kid who people all thought was washed when he was in the G League is suddenly playing at this elite level, but we don't owe him extra bread at the end of it, despite benefiting from his celebrity.
I mean, and you talk about the idea of in real time now with so much technology, you can see a parlay coming.
Whoa. And so do you think that then in seeing it coming, that fucks up the betting system? Because I'm not a betting man, but I have to understand, like, are the people in Vegas now being like, yo, this is too easy. We're all just getting bread, or are they making it? How are they accounting for the fact that all of these things are so clearly laid out?
I mean, sometimes I'll be at a bar watching the game on my phone and the game on DirecTV at Buffalo Wild Wings. And they're about 45 seconds off. And I think it's quick to send a text.
Right.
So it's like, yo, you cannot let him. He cannot hit another three. He hit another three. Get him out the goddamn game.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know how it works. And I'm not really a bet man either, but I know way too many people that make money on parlays and stats to go, this is crazy that this just happened in the third quarter.
Sure. Like, and some of the parlays are so absurd that it feels like a level of silly rigging has to be happening on the base level in order for this to even make sense. You know what I mean? That it's like, it's all cartoonish bets after a while and not just about like who's winning the game anymore.
If I was sitting courtside and my girl was at home, I'd be texting like, yo, I don't think Steph going to play in the fourth.
Yeah, you got to be just listening in on the coach's conversation. Doc Rivers, despite his best efforts, he talks in a whisper, but it's a loud fucking whisper. So, you know, somebody's hearing this shit. Let me ask you this before we go to break, because I do think this is going to be helpful in sort of exploring some of the research that we have coming up. When did you start to feel this way? Who introduced this idea to you? Was this born of your own brain or was someone in your life like, yo, Tone, you know, this shit ain't real. And then you started to peep it.
I guess when I really started paying attention to it was probably a couple years ago. And I don't want to say the league and I definitely don't want to say the player's name. But, you know, you get into this game and you start developing friends outside of comedy, but and acting, but also athlete. And so I got a couple buddies who you know, play different sports. But I will say that I had a friend, like, just kind of, you know, we had some drinks. And just kind of.
Hey, y'all, we were drunk. Anyway.
He just got a little loose lip. And he said a couple words and I was like, what? And it was like, oh, yeah, we knew.
Damn.
We knew we was taking this L. Before we ran out there, we knew we was taking this L.
So he just told you straight up that it was already on sort of like, not record, but it was already sort of made clear to them that this was not going to be their victory in this game.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong, but that's how I heard it.
I was drunk. He was drunk.
I go, what? No, you don't say. And I go, it is what it is.
I pray my drunk ears betrayed me, but I'm pretty sure I heard this nigga say, we gonna lose.
I still love the game.
Hey, hey, happy to be here. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Tone Bell, more My Mama Told Me.
And we're back on Dealing Together, where we help good people who fell for bad deals. First caller?
I had to buy 3 identical sweaters to get the 4th free.
Ooh, you got fleeced. Next caller, what's your deal?
I paid for 20 tanning sessions, but had to use them in a month. Now I'm orange.
Ooh, you got burned. Next caller?
I traded in my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus.
How's that bad?
I got to choose from their best plans.
So what went wrong?
Oh, nothing went wrong.
And you're calling to...
to request a song?
You want a song. Of course.
The choice is yours.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested, cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
And we are back.
Passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, we're back here with more Tone Bell, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that these professional sports leagues are rigged, that this is a ruse that we're all falling for, that they're not, in fact, playing their hearts out, but some of them are playing with half their hearts so that they can get better bonuses and, I guess, help the league narratives. Do you feel like there are players, and I've always been curious about this when people have accused like games of being rigged or situations of being rigged. Do you think that all the players are consenting into this as well? Or is it just like it's more that the league figures it out and the players have accepted that, yo, you pay me enough, I'm not going to like blow up the spot for my own benefit?
I think you can't tell everybody. You can't tell everybody because the pay scale is different, right? Because somebody making $31 million this season, somebody making $375,000 for the season.
Whoa.
The dude who making $375,000 can't know.
Fuck. So you saying Drew Holiday's little brother don't know that the league is rigged.
He's like, man, he's still... He doing tour days. He just happy to have a uniform.
Right.
He watching it himself.
God, that's so embarrassing.
Whoever driving themselves to the game don't know.
But he's just sitting there like, man, we going to get it next time, fellas. And everybody like, I don't know, dog. I don't think we are going to get it next time.
If you don't need security, you don't know. But if you got security...
Oh, okay.
I trust you a little more to know some shit because, you know, you got, at least that's what I'd like to believe.
Right.
I'd like to believe I can handle a $32 million secret.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? That like at a certain point, the bag becomes so large that it's like, what is the benefit here to come forward and be like, hey, man, this is all... Adam Silver, David Stern, still alive, planning games and shit. Like,
He just in the lab. I got it. I couldn't do this out in public.
David Stern is still alive in a cloak made of Craig Sager suits, strategizing.
There was Scott there. Like, look, man, I was there. I know I got a different angle. Let me in. Let me in the club.
It's pretty scary to some extent to think the amount of people, I guess, that have to be consenting inside of this. And that's always the sort of big question of conspiracy theory and all of these conversations when it becomes like a mass agreement, is how many people are actually consenting and knowingly allowing this thing to happen. It's challenging, to say the least, to get that many people on board. But when you pay them enough money, it makes it at least a little bit easier and more likely to happen.
You gotta hate it, but you go, what? If I would rather me get the opportunity to have to hold on to this than to play your game and you get the control of this. If I can do it, I'm taking the task. I'm taking it. I'm taking the opportunity.
That actually is, I think, a good transition into some of the research that I want to talk to you about today. Like all television programs, there are arguments, at least. Everything that I've read suggests that the rigging is less about deciding the ultimate results of games, but more protecting the longevity of the league and its stars. That's the main argument that sort of is presented. So they say that, like all television programs, they're weaving stories. And you made this example with the wrestling, which means that they need the main cast and most prominent teams to maintain their positions at the top of the league. I watched this interview actually today with Jalen Rose, where he was talking about how we see it in situations like with John Wall being paid very handsomely to not play basketball for an entire year, or Kawhi Leonard, who is basically like the king of load management, truly the greatest load manager in the history of the league, and has opted to probably play somewhere in the range of 40 games for the rest of his life, despite being arguably one of the best players in the league at all times.
Well, I mean, there's always a passing of the torch when generations of the league. When the game changes, you got to get a new face, right? And we're watching it right now. We saw LeBron still be arguably the best player ever, okay? Yeah. Especially in this era. We watch it. Kobe passed him the torch. Kobe got it from Mike. Mike got it from Magic and Isaiah. And all Isaiah's was short-lived compared to when Mike came through. But everybody gets an opportunity, right? Every 3 to 6 years, 5 to 7 years, that new face, Steph had his time. This is probably Steph's last year as being the face, right? Because now you got Ja.
Yeah, right. You're saying that these individuals that we're rooting for, because they change, then the rigging, as it were, will also change. That, like, Golden State was not a powerhouse until you get Splash Brothers, specifically Steph, as a face of this organization. And now we will do everything to make sure that, if nothing else, they're at least in a conversation until these dudes are no longer valuable.
You can watch the Lakers game from anywhere. You'll never be in a city with cable and the Lakers playing. You won't be able to watch it. The Lakers play everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Boston still play everywhere. Miami probably play everywhere. You had the Clippers play everywhere. Golden State play everywhere. If Golden State game on, you're going to see it in bars that don't have television.
Yeah. And frankly, you and I come from a generation where that was not true. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never watched a Golden State game before Steph Curry became Steph Curry. Like, it wasn't even possible. They told me that there was that, like, hero season with Golden State. I ain't watched that shit when Baron Davis and Steven Jackson and all them were going crazy. I didn't know, because they didn't play y'all games on TV. Had no idea, but good for you, boys.
You cross the county line, they don't play them games. They didn't play that shit in Oakland.
Right. They were like, the fuck? I'm not watching Steven Jackson. The fuck out of here.
And now, look, you can watch LaMelo's so exciting. You watching
Charlotte games.
You watching Charlotte games across the country. I was watching that shit in Toronto.
Right.
You watching Charlotte games in Canada now. He's exciting. Ja's exciting. So, yeah. So, look, that's a new change in the guard, but also we going to need Kawhi another. He's not exciting for he's an exciting player, but he's not exciting. And they try to make him exciting with that creepy-ass laugh.
He's surely one of the more boring superstars that have ever existed. And it works perfectly in the Tim Duncan tree of life that he's building. But he is dull, you know?
I mean, sharp as a spoon. You do not want to see him on television. You want to see, he's a stat guy. That's it.
Yeah.
So we got to get, I'll take somebody that's terrible, but exciting. I was hoping LaMelo was going to be exciting, and that he did not disappoint.
No, LaMelo is a very exciting player. And to that point that you're making, the Charlotte Hornets before LaMelo arrives are a pretty terrible team, it's a non-starter conversation. And LaMelo's very good at basketball, but the transition that they've made does seem exponential in a way that makes you question, like, okay, what's going on here? Because he's not even arguably the best player on the team. And the team has suddenly become something greater than it was even when they were still that core.
The last time we really talked about Charlotte was like when Master P had like a 1 day or a 10 day contract or something.
I think he had a 10 day contract. And I think Alonzo Mourning was still involved somehow. You know what I mean? I think this was back when LJ was throwing up the weird shit.
But to go back to your point with like the narratives, I mean, but we need it too, right? We need it.
Mm-hmm.
We and need
I,
it.
I think that's the interesting thing that everything that I read tapped on. So I want to go through some specific examples to sort of help ground this a little bit. And I'd love to just get your thoughts on whether you agree with this, whether some of these are more far-fetched. Some of them feel legitimate to me and I watch them happen in real time. So I have like an emotional connection. And then some of them feel very hypothetical. And so I'd love to hear where you live in all of this. Here's a great example to start off with. There was a Bleacher Report op-ed that I read that argued that the rise of the 2005 New Orleans Hornets, this was back when they were still the Hornets, is a great example of the rigging that happens. So 2005, Chris Paul has been in the league for 2 years. He has sort of solidified himself as one of the superstar point guards in the league at this point. But in 2004, in the previous year, they were terrible. They were complete ass. They did not play well at all. And then 2005 happens. Obviously, this is the year of Katrina. They get misplaced or sort of like moved to Oklahoma temporarily. Obviously, New Orleans is in need of a hero story. And then the following year, the New Orleans Hornets are second seed in the West coming out through the league. And their team doesn't change much at all. It's still mostly just Chris Paul and I think Tyson Chandler are like the key sort of like players in this. And there's not a lot of evidence of how this team, other than maybe Chris Paul becoming a better point guard than he was the year before, suddenly goes from being not even a factor, not even making the playoffs, to suddenly being second seed in the Western Conference.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me. You hate to think it, but you go, man, that's a great time for people to rally, for want to get money back in the community, for people to donate, for people to, you got to give out some jobs. Yeah, man, I see it.
And in some ways, what you're saying, I'll be honest, sounds a bit heroic almost. That like, what a nice thing to do, to be like, yo, this city just suffered one of the greatest catastrophes that's ever happened to any American city. We at least should like put some bread back in the pockets of the people that live there. That's not a horrible intent. If you know, I'm a person watching this as a rigging.
On the surface.
Sure.
It's not horrible on the surface.
Well, you're saying something dastardly.
Man, let's go ahead. Hey, man, we need about 20,000 people that we can pay $9 an hour to so sure. we can get back to the community. While diabolically, we make millions.
I'll say this. You're being hugely generous with $9 an hour because this is 2005. Them motherfuckers were making a quarter an hour to serve up hot dogs with Creole sauce on them and calling it salvation.
Beignets. Let's start making the beignets again. Let's get people back to the French Quarter. Canal Street needs some bodies on it.
Yeah, we just need people to serve up enough that they can get drunk and go to make money for us. To your point, make money for the people that we actually care about, which is a bunch of billionaires and millionaires and all that.
That one sounds like everybody wins.
Mm. Okay. And by everyone wins...
Some more than others.
Yes. Okay. There we go. That's the part that I needed to hear out loud. Is some way more than others, but everybody some more than gets something.
Yeah. Everybody wallets get greased, but some people at Bank of America, some people got steel briefcases.
Hey, look at this. I get to open a savings account. This is pretty cool. Thank you, NBA.
I got to fill up my rush card.
Which are still okay in 2005. Not in the future, though, you know, because of what Rush did. Okay, here's another example that people point to. And this one is, this one hit home for me. You're from Atlanta. I have to assume that you were a Hawks fan growing up, or at least.
No, I'm a Bulls fan. I spent my summers in Chicago.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So my family's from that way. My dad wasn't a sports fan, so my family that was a sports fan was all in Chicago. So when I was growing up there in the summer, I'm a Bulls fan.
I got you. So you were a Bulls fan growing up. I will say that I think it was impossible not to be a Bulls. I'm from Chicago as well,
Very easy to be a Bulls fan.
It was easy being a Bulls fan all the way up till 1999, and then it got real easy to stop being a Bulls fan when all we had was Tony Kukoc to protect us. But during that time, one of the teams that I gravitated towards was the Sacramento Kings. I was a huge Sacramento King fan, largely because of Chris Webber and then Mike Bibby. And as you know, in the 2002 finals, the Western Conference finals, the Kings faced the Lakers. And it is, I would say, one of the more infamous rigging arguments, or at least arguments that a rigging took place. The Sacramento Kings are up 3-2 in the series. They're the clear favorites at this point to basically win the title. And then the refs start to get involved, and there's a bunch of videos you can watch on YouTube that break down all the bullshit calls and fake fouls and whatever that happened. But basically, the Lakers end up coming back and winning the series 4-3. And the game 6, I think, is the one that's most infamous as like, oh, they really just fucked around on these guys. And for years, I'll be honest, I was devastated by this loss. I really wanted the Kings to win, but I didn't necessarily believe it. But then, and I'm not sure how much you've heard of this, ref Tim Donaghy, who is now gone to, I think, jail for the shit, or at least been fined insane amounts of money. Has come forward, and specifically in terms of this game, which he did ref, he was like, yo, we bullshitted that. The league wanted us to make sure that the Lakers won, or at least kept the series going as long as it could.
I think it's harder now with technology to do what that 2002 finals did in the very obvious. Takes a little more time to see a replay. Mm-hmm. Where we didn't have if as many sidebars where refs go talk about it and you get to go watch footage in real time. I think we all got too many cameras, so it's a lot more difficult than that. But I do think it's easier to allow a series to go 7 games because we know like this. I think everybody's checked out of this for this finals, for example, this Golden State Mavericks series. It's like we need Golden State healthy. Don't get anybody hurt. Let them go ahead and get 4 and out. We need them healthy for the finals. They still really, like, 7 games, we want that. We want to see 7 games. So the finals going 7. But the conference finals, we need Steph and Clay. we get the most money when these motherfuckers are healthy.
And to that point, there's nobody in the league who thinks that the Dallas Mavericks are going to win it. So what the fuck are we giving them a chance for? Why are we...
Hey man, Luka dropped his... he got his stats. He doing well. We like him. No, nobody dislike Luka. He's fine.
Yeah, Reggie Bullock isn't going to be your the finals MVP. So let's just move on and let these boys play. On.
Let Steph get and Clay and the boys and Draymond so he can get back to his podcast. I mean,
Draymond's got some big guests coming up, and we can't afford for him to have a sore throat. Let's let these boys win. You know he likes yelling. We got to get him off the floor.
But me and Rojo Perez talk about this all the time. Shout out to Rojo Perez. We talk about this time. Is like things to make the game more exciting, but also make it fair. And you talking about the referees right now make me feel like what we should do is at least once a game, which we have to decide on, we can let Twitter decide, the real Twitter, not the bots, the real Twitter. The real Twitter. We let the real Twitter decide which call that when they go over to the sidelines, which call is going to be a fan decided call. But it can't be a fan, excuse me. It has to be a woman who doesn't watch the sport.
Oh, that's smart. Okay. Yeah, because if it's a fan, there's so much bias cooked into it, right? Listen, Klay Thompson to me is the greatest human being to ever walk this planet Earth. He's beat autism and he's made his way to arguably the second best shooting position in the history of the game. He's so fun, so funny to me. I love him to death. I'm not calling a call against Klay Thompson. I don't give a fuck what he did. He ain't do it to me. I love Klay Thompson, so I can't fairly answer any call against him.
If it's up, you go, nope, I didn't see nothing. Klay.
Nope. I'm like, not my sweet boy.
you can watch it on the Oculus and be like, I don't see shit.
I don't see it. That just looked like a good man out there playing his heart out. Nope. I don't
Klay
see
said
shit.
He didn't do it. Klay didn't do it.
Klay, did you do it? No. All right. He said he'd do it. So.
Well, hey, I don't know what we're talking about there.
Why are we wasting time? Let's get back to the game, boys. Klay want to shoot. but to that point, if my wife was watching, and she just goes, hey, he pushed him down. I'd be like, yeah, you're right, baby.
That wasn't supposed to happen. And you're like, you know, okay, that is non-biased. Yeah. You got to explain what just happened and this is what's not supposed to happen. Did she see that happen? And she's going to go, that looks like it was fair to me. That wasn't that hard of a hit. I wouldn't call that flagrant at all.
He's faking.
It's not flagrant then.
No, that's perfect. Because when they go and the refs go and they meet up together at the scores table and they're like debating the whole thing. If you just added a nice lady in the middle of there who's like that, they can take that time to explain all the rules to her, play the thing back. And then she goes, oh yeah, no, you can't do that. And then they can call the call the way that it was meant to be called.
Boom. Call the lady that work in the parking lot. Call that lady who's telling you where to park. Get her ass in here real quick. She ain't seen shit. She ain't seen nothing.
If you're ever at the fucking Staples Center, I guess not Staples anymore, crypto.com or whatever the fuck it is. But if you're ever there, there's like those ladies that sell those bacon wrapped hot dogs out there.
Actually, I was going that direction for a second. And then I was like, no, event staff would probably at least be closer to the team. She actually works there.
No, give me a very stout Mexican lady selling bacon wrapped hot dogs and peppers. And I want her to decide the ultimate.
He came wrong.
Yeah. I need her to just be objective as fuck in this. And then I want one of them hot dogs. So they'd be good to love her. All right. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Tone Bell and more My Mama Told Me.
And we're back on Dealing Together, where we help good people who fell for bad deals. First caller?
I had to buy 3 identical sweaters to get the fourth free. Ooh, you got fleeced. Next caller, what's your deal?
I paid for 20 tanning sessions, but had to use them in a month. Now I'm orange.
Ooh, you got burned. Next caller.
I traded in my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus.
Hmm, how's that bad?
I got to choose from their best plans.
So, what went wrong?
Oh, nothing went wrong.
And you're calling to...
to request a song?
You want a song. Of course.
The choice is yours.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device, subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
And we are back.
I can go anywhere.
Suck my dick.
Yeah, we're back here with more Tone Bell, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that these leagues are rigging games for their own benefit to make people richer. That is the theory that is on the table. I have to ask you, have you ever been at the loss of one of these rigged games? I know you said you're not a betting man, but are you, as a fan, as a person just sort of like observing, have you ever been fallen victim to what you feel was a very rigged situation?
I mean, not really with consequences other than, you know, I mean, like emotionally being like, oh man, I wish there was more basketball, but I don't think, no, I'm going to say no, but I do think we were robbed of a little Ja this season.
Oh.
I think Ja got where he was supposed to get.
Yep. Meaning that Memphis wasn't supposed to make it past the second round of the playoffs?
Correct.
But you think we should have seen more Ja throughout the series and that
what was... I'm saying, I would have loved to see more Ja.
I got you.
I don't think the injury was... I think we had just enough Ja for him to go have a good summer.
Okay.
Hey, we did it. Memphis is on fire. We look good for next year. He a new face. The commercials are coming. He's a brand now. He solidified that. Save him up because we're going to need him in two... We're going to need him in the future.
So that's...
He did his job. Get him out of here for now. And then let's let Golden State go ahead and get their last run before these niggas get old.
That's really interesting because I think to some extent, it's almost... Like, I think when I think about these rigging situations, to some extent, Kevin Durant feels like the type of guy, and I'm a big fan of Kevin Durant, but he feels like the type of guy that wouldn't play along in whatever this shit is. Do you know what I mean? That, like, if any player in the league was like, nah, nigga, it's going to be KD. And I feel like his injury, the season that Golden State lost to Toronto, feels very much like that, where it was like they told him, KD, you got to sit out, dog. You're injured in a way that you shouldn't be, or that, you know, is going to not necessarily protect the brand. And he was like, fuck that. I'm playing basketball. And the league was okay with it to some extent because it still puts Kevin Durant on the floor, which everybody wanted to see and could be a hero story. But then when he got injured, they were like, fuck, we knew this nigga was going to cost us some money.
oh, this nigga trying to be righteous.
Man, if you don't go get a haircut and sit down, fuck.
Oh, with the ethics.
Yeah, he seems like he just loves basketball more than whatever millionaire games are being played. So he's gonna go play, even if they tell him not to.
I mean, I think the smart cats are doing what they do. Like, you know, the cats who know that, like, man, I might got 2 or 3 more seasons left. So let me go ahead and figure out what my next career is gonna be.
Yes.
And KD's like, hey man, I laced up. Pass me the ball. Like I play basketball, man.
Yeah, I don't got nothing else. I ain't got no kids. I ain't got no wife. I like basketball.
I'm good for another 10 seasons. Well, you're going to have to go play in the big three. You better call Ice Cube.
Yeah, we can't afford whatever this personality is around all the time.
Another thing me and Rope bring up all the time is like, I wish, because like this is like the narrative of these things. I wish that there was like a game within a game, mm-hmm. right? So I wish like instead of this one, I'm thinking of this right now, but you get fouled on a three. Right, yeah. A shooting foul on a three. You can choose whether or not you take 3 free throws or everybody clears the court. We play 1-on-1 for 3 points.
Whoa, that's exciting. Now that's fucking exciting.
You get 30, you get a shot clock, you get 24 seconds, or maybe you get your 14. But I got 14 seconds. It's quick. You foul me. If I score on you 1-on-1, I get my 3. And if you stop me, then y'all get the possession.
That's really fun, because then it feels like it's got a he got game quality to it, where it's like you kind of rooting for the jail nigga to come out of this, but nope, Ray Allen's gonna push him down and dunk on his bitch ass.
Because you know all you gonna hear, nigga, ball don't lie, ball don't lie. Yeah, that's all you gonna hear every 1-on-1. Every 1-on-1. I wish we would do this more.
I'll say this. Very exciting premise. Truly, I don't know that the egos of this league could even begin to manage what you're suggesting. It would destroy so many people emotionally. At the point that you get knocked down and dunked on, people would melt down for sure.
Oh, I mean, we live, you know how we live in now. Everything a meme.
Yes,
the
exactly.
Game within the game. Oh, I gotta play. I mean, it's gonna stop you. All it's gonna take is one person to get injured that they couldn't afford.
Right. For sure. If LeBron takes that,
like a literally broken ankle.
If LeBron takes that kind of L, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Let's dig back into a few more of these examples before we wrap this up. This is a really interesting one. There's a 1985 draft lottery that I guess is one of the more infamous moments of quote-unquote rigging. And there are a few examples of rigging throughout history. Some argue that even LeBron being drafted to the Cavs is another example of rigging. He's a hometown kid who suddenly is now being drafted to the team and magically creates, you know, this narrative of salvation, despite the next best player being, what was it, Mo Williams? It was like he truly had nothing on that team. Anderson Varejao, I think, were his two next best. Larry Hughes. It was all garbage. That said, the 1985 draft lottery is when, for some reason, the league opted to shift from their traditional ping pong balls to pull the names of the teams as they're being picked for the numbers, and instead shifted to these giant, almost like vinyl disc cards. Do you know what I mean? Like the thing, yeah. The envelopes, yeah, that you keep vinyl in, they use those and put those in a giant spinny wheel, right? And so everybody is like, this is a little weird, but I guess the league's trying something different. But then on top of that, the GM of the Atlanta Hawks this year, 1985, came forward before the draft even happened and said the Knicks are going to get the first pick, because they are the team that the NBA is invested in the most because of the sort of like scale of their market. Everybody starts bugging out about the fact that he says that. But then even worse, the Knicks do, in fact, get the first pick and they get Patrick Ewing that year, which then sort of solidifies the kerfuffle. And inside of that, this is my favorite part of the whole thing. People discover that the accounting firm that was in charge of the cards and in charge of this lottery as a whole was in fact owned by, you guessed it, the New York Knicks. And the person who specifically was in charge of placing the cards inside of it was a person inside of the Knicks organization. And there are some people who even argue, this is the craziest part, that they froze the Knicks card so that David Stern, when he reached his hand in, could differentiate the Knicks card versus the other ones.
So it just wasn't red and all the rest of them were white.
It said, pick this one.
I mean, it's like, here's the hard part. It's like, would you even care? Like, if they go, hey, man, like, it's that's the hard part to me. It's like, I understand that people probably couldn't handle it, but I think most of us would go, I don't know, man, New York, I mean, they make a lot of money. They spend a lot of money. It's an expensive place. Yeah, they do deserve to go number one. And then you get to midseason after the draft, you go, man, who's killing it right now? Before the trade deadline, what can we do? I think sports fans can handle that shit. I do, but I think there still has to be the element of surprise and unknowing, not knowing. So they have to make it exciting. Because, I mean, I remember when the whole lottery, because we didn't used to see really the draft lottery like that. Like, now it's a huge event. Like,
right.
It was kind of like, you know it's out here and you know what happens. But then it became like, a real big.
Sure, it's like, an entire day
it's a production
television
now,
programming. You know? Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that's hard because I don't disagree with how they did it. I just go, that's like what they should have done is like let us. They should have went to like a Make-A-Wish. Like they should have brought a blind kid out, and then somebody whispers in here, reach for the cold one.
Right? Hey, if you feel cold, you got it.
Teach them what cold is. Right? What you do is you make them all different, every envelope 13 different colors, so there's no way he saw it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And just like he just reached in there and like he and just whispered, hey man, get the cold one. And then it's like, oh shit. And now people love this blind kid. And well, it seems like something else.
I think to your point, that's part of the problem that they keep facing, right? Is that they keep using the same motherfuckers to do the thing. And pretending like we're not supposed to start calling bullshit. Like at the core of it, if you want to rig sports, and I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, but if you want to rig sports, stop making the head of the league the face of each event. You know what I mean? Like you said, bring in some weirdos and some extra folks that have nothing to do with it to be the face of these choices so that it feels at least somewhat objective, or at least feels like a third party is involved in some kind of way. But David Stern, he's a part of all of it.
You got to come in looking like you don't know shit about it and go, hey man, you got a 1-year contract to act like you don't know shit about this and you just got picked up off the street like a lottery winner, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Did you one season, now
you're
out of
here. Yeah, Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, baby. We already knew
Charlie
was going to get up in there. But make it seem like he's in trouble.
I don't know, man. I feel like people could handle it. Like the way we grew up, eventually found out that wrestling was a storyline, and still it does well.
Yeah, I think the wrestling analogy is a good one for me because it reminds me of how I was very invested in wrestling as a kid, and I remember there would be weeks where like Stone Cold or The Rock would like take off, right? Like they just weren't a part of it. They weren't, it wasn't in the stories or like there was a point where I think like one of them had gotten injured and that was like part of the storyline was like, they aren't wrestling anymore, whatever. And I didn't like those stories, right? I remember as a kid being like, fuck, man, those are my favorites. I want them to be a part of it. But then there was also the moment when they came back, and that was so much more meaningful and exciting than if they would have kept just doing their bits every week, the same as always. And so I think to some extent, that's what we're getting, right? It's more of a hero story for Cleveland to have LeBron James, lose LeBron James, LeBron comes back and gives them a championship, than it is for LeBron to just stick it out for the entirety of his career and then ultimately earn himself a championship somewhere in the middle of that.
Well, I mean, like it's like, and I don't know, I'm sure we could string this together, but even having for LeBron to go from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland, and then get to LA, is like, we can make that happen, but you got to go back to, you owe Cleveland more.
Give them one.
Before, and I don't think that's him. I go, hey, man, it didn't happen. I'm moving.
Yeah, he probably was like, I don't want to go back to Cleveland. They're like, nah, we'll let you go to L.A.
I already started paying my mortgage in L.A. I'm moving. And they're like,
we need. Sorry, big dog. We actually don't give a fuck about your mortgage.
I just, hey, man, look, you two inside now. You got to do this. You give Cleveland one, give you Space Jam. How about that? You want to do that?
Oh, that's good. That they were like,
man, we'll give you that, but like, we're going to need one first. It's like, we're going to need Space Jam.
It don't got to be good. In fact, you can go out of your way to make it god awful, but you got to give us another Space Jam. So staying on the David Stern is evil track, there are a couple more examples of David Stern sort of doing some of his wild, according to at least some people who are accusing him, shit. In 2006, the finals when Dwayne Wade and the Heat, this is the Shaq and Dwayne Wade Heat, not the LeBron and Dwayne Wade Heat, but they were facing the Mavericks. And Dwayne Wade, they're down 2-0. To the Mavs at this point. They're almost certainly about to lose this game. I think they were down by like almost 20 in the third game. And then Dwayne Wade went on to shoot as many free throws as the entire Mavericks team.
Oh, I remember this one.
The third game, he shoots as many free throws as the entire team, which I think is 25 plus free throws on his own, ultimately wins that game, and then goes on to shoot similar amounts of free throws throughout the rest of the series and wins them a championship. And then Mark Cuban is so angry at what's happened that he comes forward and says that it was rigged. He comes forward and says that the refs bullshitted this game in the league's favor, and then gets fined $250,000, $250,000 for talking out of turn that season.
Love Mark Cuban for that. And I go, you know, it's a double standard, you know, when the rig goes your way, you know. But I mean, if I'm not mistaken, this is at this point, D Wade is with Nike. He has a shoe. They're doing this whole campaign. You know, you fall down 8 times, get up 9. Right?
Like, yeah.
That's this year, and they're talking about all these fouls because these are those years when he was he jump and not know how he's coming down. So he always end up on his back or in chest or something.
Yeah. This was the Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, I think, had similar instincts of like, I'm just going to leave everything in the air and see what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes it worked out really well. And then sometimes it ended their career real early.
So, I mean, so you're talking about, this is not even like, I mean, we need more time to make this ad go, right? This Nike ad go. What is going to be his thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's his narrative? What's going to be this thing? We got to get him on. So the fact that they win the series, but now they got all this footage of, they got montage after montage of in-game getting fouled.
Yeah.
It's really not a foul, but he's going to the line.
And he's strong as fuck, and he's a big shit talker. So he's gonna go up there, get knocked down, dunk it, or do a weird spin and put it in. And then you get footage of him now, like on the ground, being like, "Yeah." That's to your point. Great footage for Nike or whoever is trying to sell it.
And let's be honest, we all know what built Miami. Them refs probably scared shitless if Miami don't win this game.
Yeah, the cocaine boys are courtside. They're not talking out of turn in Miami.
Hey, man, everybody in Miami wears all white to the games. Cocaine is that ain't for the team.
No, this is a personal. This is personal for them.
They wouldn't even be called the Heat if they could call them the cocaine.
The what?
The Miami cocaine. if they could call it anything else,
the Miami good stuff.
the Miami let's party.
And you like to party?
Instead of a big number one, they do the pinky with the long nail on it.
Yeah, it's got to have the long nail on it, and a little bit of un. unexplained dust right at the end of that pinky. Just a little bit. Not enough that it offends the children, but
we're number one, bro.
Okay, I'll point to arguably the most glaring historical example of the rigging, or certainly the one that feels most present to today. The fiasco that took place when Chris Paul was vetoed from joining the Lakers by David Stern. So David Stern, I don't know how well you remember this, but Chris Paul plays for the Hornets at the time in New Orleans. He ultimately is deciding to leave. The Hornets are then going to make a three-team deal to land Chris Paul in the Lakers. Now, here's where it gets weird is that...
Wait, go back one more time. I'm trying to remember this.
It's Chris Paul leaving the Hornets, trying to go to the Lakers. I believe it is 2006, I want to say. It might have been later than that. I'm not 100%. I'm not remembering the year well. So I apologize to the listeners. Please don't yell at me. But long story short, this is right before Chris Paul actually ends up on the Clippers. So whatever year he ends up on the Clippers, this was the year he attempted to go to the Lakers. They were trading for him to go there, but New Orleans didn't have an owner at the time. For whatever reason, their team did not have an owner. And when you don't have an owner, the head of the league becomes the sort of like acting owner for the team, David Stern. And David Stern vetoed the deal, saying that Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant would be too much of a impossible duo for anybody to beat, and said that it wouldn't be beneficial to New Orleans, and then forced them into a trade that actually ended up way worse for New Orleans than they would have been if they ended up with I think they were going to get like four pretty solid players in exchange for Chris Paul, and then ended up with like complete bullshit afterward.
Those are interesting years too, because like if those years are right where you're talking, it's a lot happening these years. So yes, you got to spread the wealth, right? With this, I mean has to be shared amongst, you know, we have a narrative, because I mean we kind of talking about the same era, because we're still talking about Dwayne Wade, because Wade only got to Miami because of some trade to Indiana and a medical condition, right? So I forget the player's name, but that went to Indiana. Wade ends up going to Miami because he was supposed to go to Toronto. So it's a bunch of shit that happens there, but they're also going to keep Kobe there, and because LeBron's probably already trying to get there.
Yeah,
early on, there's probably like, hey, you can't come here until Kobe's done.
And this is to be clear, this is 2011. I was way off in my years, but Los Angeles would have ended up with Chris Paul. New Orleans would have ended up with Lamar Odom, Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, Goran Dragic. All of which they would have all ended up on New Orleans, and then the Rockets would have gotten Pau Gasol. That would have been the three-team trade that was happening for all of these players. And then David Stern was like, nah, we good. And then Chris Paul ultimately found himself on the Clippers instead.
What year did Chris Paul take the position of Player Association president?
Oh, I can find out. I don't know off the top of my head, but I definitely.
Because, you know, to me, those kind of things are like, oh, now you got too much say-so, or we have to let you think you have too much say-so. So now you start being vocal. And apparently when it comes to the players, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has a pretty good reputation as the president. I know on the court people.
I think he is extremely well-liked as a representative for the players in the league, and also extremely hated as a person you have to play against in the league. If that makes sense. People fuck with him. They love that he goes so hard for them. And then they're like, fuck this nigga for falling down on top of me and getting a free call. And yes, Olivia is correct. 2013 is when he became the president. So he clearly, this feels like it's out of a response to David Stern fucking over his potential championship with Kobe.
So you talking about, look, you don't just start overnight when you become the president. That means you're very vocal up front.
Yeah.
a couple years leading up to. That's hard to, I mean, yeah, that's hard. Because, I mean, these are years where technology's getting better, iPhones getting better, people can talk quicker. I mean, you start to hear shit talking crazy now.
So, yes. And so to that point, the shit talking got so intense for David Stern and the league that there are some who argued that is the reason why very shortly after Anthony Davis was drafted to New Orleans, despite them having, I think, only an 11% chance or some very low percent chance of getting the number one pick. They end up getting Anthony Davis that year. And this is them, the league, essentially trying to make up for the fact that they fucked over not only New Orleans, but also the league as a whole by nixing this trade.
But isn't it, I mean, it's such a soap opera.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, we can go down any scenario, but then here's the thing is like, okay, I believe everything you just said. The five stories we read that we saw had to unfold for us to know them, right? So this is history when it comes to the league. And also it's, what I don't like is like, oh man, that's interesting. I got to be honest, man. I'm still watching the game. I still love it. I don't really care. I don't want you telling me it's something that it wasn't. I don't like being lied to.
Sure.
I don't like it, but I'm willing to. I'm still going to go to the games. I'm still going to watch them. I'm still going to hate Jake from State Farm for being the most active actor in Hollywood. That nigga is everywhere.
That's got to mean a lot to him coming from you.
But either one of us could have had that job. Either one of us.
Sure. It's not a super challenging job, but it does seem like it takes a lot of work that I'll be honest, I'm not willing to do. I couldn't do some of what Jake has to do. So hats off to him.
A year. But also he's Jake from State Farm forever. Like if he's in bed and he's like, say my name.
Jake from State Farm.
You're gonna make him smash with a red t-shirt on. All right. But what really gets me about it is like when you talk to people, even just in passing, you talk to somebody about shit like this and they go, nah, man, I don't believe it. Why would they do that? I go, there's nothing about it that seems like kind of weird. Like it's not orchestrated. Yeah. You can just have the conversation. Like that's what I don't like. I don't like talking to people about shit like this. And they go like, I can't see that. You're like, you can't see it.
Right.
I'm not saying you got to believe it, but you can't see it.
Let's play the game. Let's entertain each other a little bit with this conversation. Now, I think to the original point you made, and this was one that sat good in my spirit. It felt correct for everything that I sort of believe in this, is it makes for great stories and it makes for good conversation. It's the fun that also is added to the league. If it's too rigged, it's not fun anymore. We don't want this to actually be wrestling. But if it's just rigged enough, then we all get to feel like we can reinvest in our teams and the possibility of maybe the rig working in our favor in a way that we won't be able to if we just know the Lakers or the Celtics will always be the best team because of history and circumstance, right? More than just chance and fun.
I mean, it might help it. I mean, you don't want shit leaning too far. I mean, some shit has to self-correct. It's not too robotic. It doesn't look like the same thing happened every night. I mean, you still get, explosive players and highlights. You used to get all the cool stuff. And then sometimes you got to manipulate because it is a business. Fuck it.
Yeah. It's a business and God damn it, we're dealing with the most businessy businessmen there are. They truly are all billionaires who are going to make business-ass choices even when it comes to fucking athletics.
Hey, man, Buffalo Wild Wings sell thighs now. I mean, what do you
And what a great way for us to leave this conversation. Buffalo Wild Wings sells thighs now. That's all you need to know. That's the answer to all of y'all questions and concerns here. Well, Tone, I think we did it. I think this is a wonderful... I had a great time. Could you tell the people...
I had a wonderful time, man.
Yeah. Could you tell the people at home where they can find you, what cool shit you have going on?
I just finished a new movie last week. That's a Looney Tunes movie. I just finished that, which I'm excited about. That'll be out next year. I got a movie coming out on Netflix that they haven't announced yet, so I'm not going to say the name, but look out for it. You'll see my face. And then I got a new show coming out on Netflix in September that I'm not going to say the name of because they haven't announced it yet. But man, look out for me, man. I'm out here and I'm Tone Bell on all the socials. I don't post a lot these days. I be out here trying to live in real life and not record stuff all the time. But you know what? If I get a couple follows, I'll post some shit. I probably should.
Anyway, hell yeah.
T-O-N-E-B-E-O-L, man. You know, follow your boy.
Yeah, and fuck Jake from State Farm because he's working too much. Unlike you, who's keeping it real cool and humble with your 88 jobs that you just listed. But no, follow Tone. He's hilarious, very talented. And always you can follow me at Langston Kerman on all platforms. I ain't got shit going on, so I'll be available and posting about nothing.
Before we hang up, can I say this? Yo, I love Bust Down, bro.
Fuck yeah.
I know I said it on like probably on Instagram or something, but while I got you live, man, I fuck with it heavy, man. I had a good time watching that. Because I didn't know what to expect. I knew y'all was doing it. Richie Keene is the homie. He was telling me about it. And yeah. I kind of didn't know what it was. I know y'all been working on it for a minute. Yo, that shit came together, bro. It's dope.
Thanks, man.
It's real fun series.
I always tell people it's our toxic little baby. We made some, you know, real weird and fucked up, and I'm glad people like it.
I had a wonderful time. Even going into episode one, I was like, yo, this is not what I thought it was gonna be. But then I watched the whole thing, man. I fuck with it heavy, man.
There's no way, and I take a lot of pride in this, that episode one could have been what you thought it was gonna be. We didn't set up episode one to be whatever that was at all. So, you know, I'm glad you dug it. That means the world to me. Yeah. Well, we did it. I think this is it. Okay. Bye, bitch.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.